You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 26th of December 2025, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. This is actually being pre-recorded, but since it is going out on the 26th of December, happy Boxing Day to everybody in Britain, and a happy day after Christmas to everybody in America. I'm sure it is a public holiday, and as it is a Friday, we do have with us today Grandpa Dan, how are you doing, sir? How is life treating you?
All right, but I've got to ask, because we don't do Boxing Day here in America. What exactly is it? I mean, is it like boxing the sport? What's that about?
I think it's when something to do with boxes, collection boxes, going around houses collecting for charities. I think that might be the origin of, or it's something to do with that. It's not actual boxing like sport, I don't think.
That's what I always thought of. I was like, well, they really love the sport of boxing over there. They have a special day for it. Never made sense to me. But hey, our topic today is going to make sense, and it's more interesting than politics. So yeah, I'm excited for it.
Well, just before we get into that, I'll also say shooting goes on Boxing Day as well. They go out shooting. People go out with shotguns and they shoot fowl and all sorts of other things. And it is known for the day of going out shooting. So that might have something to do with it as well. Yeah. Yeah. So.
Well, here in America, that's just called any day of the week.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a shooting day. Oh, that's called any day that ends in Y in America. We have a shooting day every day.
Particularly in places like Chicago and Baltimore, I guess. But yeah, today what I wanted to talk about, anime. Probably a surprising subject for some of our listeners. I got into watching anime while I was on probation, basically, while I was on license and I wasn't allowed to do anything online and I needed something to fill up my time with. And I asked Grandpa, who I knew was very much into his anime, if he could send me some USB sticks filled up with really good anime that I could get into, because I would have the time to actually watch some of these series. And Grandpa kindly sent me about half a dozen USB sticks in the post, all the way over from Texas to Britain, and I started watching it and I really enjoyed it. And I used to be into comics many, many years ago, and I got back into comics while I was in prison. I was reading comics from the 90s, Hellblazer, Preacher, Sandman, and they were all sort of intended for mature readers. And then I started reading some of the more recent stuff, and the recent stuff is full of politically correct nonsense, and it just doesn't grab me like the 90s stuff. But when I started watching the anime, I got the same buzz that I used to get in my early 20s from reading comics, and I found that I really got into these storylines, and it made me think, you know, is this what entertainment media would be like if we didn't have a certain ethnic group's influence in it, because that certain ethnic group don't appear to have much of an influence in Japan on the media as they do over here. We know the ethnic group that is disproportionately represented in television and in Hollywood. Well, they're not disproportionately represented in Japan. And I think that might well be the reason why Japanese anime is so good. And that sort of makes you think, well, just what would it be like if we didn't have that influence over here in Britain and America? Just think what the animation would be like for a start, what the storylines would be like. They would probably be so much better even than the ones that we see in Japan. But I have certainly enjoyed watching it, and I thought we would do an episode on it today, because I know you enjoy it so much, Grandpa, and I thought maybe you might like to talk a little bit about it, maybe give some recommendations of ones that you've enjoyed. yourself in particular. I mean, when did you first start watching anime? I'm sure I saw some of it in the 90s. And I also used to watch John Woo films, Hard Boiled and stuff like that. So I was sort of vaguely into Asian cinema and a little bit of anime at the time. But then I hadn't watched any since the 90s, right up until 2024. So I got it at the time. Akira was a big thing, was a movie, which is a very old anime. So when did you first start getting into anime, Grandpa? And what is it about it that really grabs you?
You know, you kept talking about that certain ethnic group, and I just kept, I'm chuckling because I kept having that Men at Work song, you know, who could it be now? Who could it be now? It's about, you know, it's not even, I think, so much about the medium, the animation. It's, and you brought it up, Sven, and it's the storytelling, and I think people that don't watch it don't understand that, you know, why you end up watching these animated stories. And really, I think the fact that it's in a certain form of animation is kind of secondary. It's the storytelling, and the storytelling that we get on mainstream platforms, TV and whatnot, is so bad. I mean, it's low effort. Here in the U.S., I see previews for the latest hot show on whatever TV network, and it's the same show. I make this joke all the time, talk when the subject comes up about stuff that's on TV, and I don't watch any of it. But I laugh because it's the same exact show with the same exact characters. They just change out the actors and actresses, but it's the same exact plot line. Like just this morning, I have it on mute for the local news, because I do watch the weather when it comes on, and you know, they were the hottest new show everybody's watching, and you know, oh, there's some evil looking guys with guns, you know, all of them white, of course, you know, I don't even have to have it unmuted. I know what the plot line is. You see, the brave woman law enforcement officer is going up against the evil white supremacists with their guns that are hiding out in the woods looking to attack diversity. So you get a break from that with the storylines in anime, and they're very much varied. Now, I'll try not to monologue here, but it took me a long time. I tried to get Sven to watch anime for years, and of course, he didn't have time for that. But thanks to the British justice system, he found time on his hands, and I was finally able to convince him to listen to anime. Now, for the record, I'm still working on Dr. Johnson, but that's a tough road to hoe. It's about as likely as old Roy going for Boy Mo and Boy Joe with the Grand Old Opry. And if you get the reference, you get the reference. So I don't know that I'm ever going to have any success on getting Matt to listen to or to watch anime, but you know, it's not going to stop me from trying. I've been watching anime for probably about roughly 20 years, since the early 2000s. And I just stumbled upon an anime show and watched it and liked it. And again, even back then, what struck me was the effort that goes into the story writing. Now, it is varied. You know, I mean, in other words, we got into this, Sven, and I'll hand this back to you in a minute. But we have gotten into this before, when you would ask me, you know, well, what's a good anime to watch? And I'm like, my response is, well, what do you like? I mean, if you want romance, action, something with a, you know, really sad deal, something with a political aspect to it, you know, as far as, you know, political maneuvering and government. I mean, there's a whole thing. And it strikes me as funny, because people that hate on anime that don't watch it, oftentimes they think that, you know, basically all anime is hentai, you know, basically pornography. It's like, you're sick. You watch that sick anime, you know, it's not hentai. You know, that is yet another form, but it's not all pornography. So there's all sorts of genres. Whatever kind of plot line or story you like, you can find it in anime. So it's always difficult to say, well, what's your favorite or what should I watch? Because that depends on what you like. But I'm glad you started watching it, Sven, and I hope you'll stick with it.
Well, that's one of the funny things, isn't it? Because I would have thought I would just be into action or horror. There was one with based on Band Maid, which was these girls in school, this rock band in school. That was a good one. There was another one, Elite Academy. That was good, which was about an elite academy and about the way that youths are trained. Students who are likely to become politicians are trained. And that reminded me of Jay Dyer talking about a school that he went to, which was where he was being groomed to be work for the UN or work for the EU or whatever else, one of these schools that sort of people like Justin Trudeau go to. So that was a particularly good one. There was another one, students at Magic High. And they may seem like, well, it's just talking about school kids or what have you. But because these series go on for so long, like they'll make an anime series, series one. Series two won't come out for another 5 years. Series three for another 5 years. So by the time the whole series has actually come out, if you started watching them when you were early teens, you might be in your 30s. So they make them so that people from all age groups can actually enjoy watching it, which I think is a good thing. I mean, some of them you could watch with the family. You could watch with the kids and the grown-ups would get something out of it as well as the kids. And another aspect to it as well is that they're all European looking, which is a real credit to Europeans. I mean, this is it's a sort of a fantasy thing. This is why some of the female characters, you know, will be wearing lingerie a lot, because it's a fantasy thing. It's like, if you could draw something, well, what are you going to draw? There's no limits whatsoever. So let's make the characters who we would wish to be. So the characters are European. Let's make the females a sort of women that we would like to see. So you see these feminine women that are actually very realistic in a way that you don't actually see in the West, even though they might be doing bizarre things like have superpowers or what have you. The actual way that they are, the way they interact with men and what they're interested in are very feminine. There's a delineation between feminine and masculine. And another point there as well that should be brought up is this sort of Benny Hill type humor that runs through them all. Even like really serious series dealing with really serious topics will quite often have some Benny Hill type jokes that are put in there. And all of that sort of appeals to me. And just to go back to the European thing as well, what the Japanese, they say, oh, yes, but they don't have blue eyes. They have, like, if they have blonde hair, they have blonde eyes. And they're not actually European. They're just characters. But they do look very European. And the idyllic village that they always seem to have is a Tudor village from Britain. The way that the old Tudor housing is made with thatched cottages. So it's obviously that they have a great respect for Europeans and European culture, and that they look up to it. And that's why they portray it in their anime. And if you contrast that with Western media today, which is denigrating Western culture all the time, or trying to show you like a sort of the dark underbelly of it, you don't really get that in anime. It's like a respect for Western culture. And at the same time, there's a big respect for their own culture in the foods that they eat and how much they like the strange foods that they eat. That turns up quite a lot. They'll be eating crab's legs or going to all-you-can-eat crab restaurant, which you just wouldn't get in the West. Anything like that. I think these are some of the things that have appealed to me about it. And it's not politically correct at all in any way, which is also very good. It shows that Japan hasn't really fallen to these civilization destroying morals that we seem to have here in the West. And also, I mean, it can be pretty violent as well. It's sort of things that you just would never see in the West, like the bad guy might be like a small child, and you wouldn't get that in the West. You wouldn't get small children depicted as being the bad guy. And another point as well, talking about the bad guys, something that seems to very often happen is that the bad guy will dress like a woman. Or will sound like a woman, or will have a woman's hairstyle. And it's as if they're saying, if you're sort of differing from the norm, gender norms, then you might be a bit of a suspicious type character. I mean, it's almost like a sort of, like a cliche in anime to have like a transvestite character is the bad guy. I mean, is that just in some of the ones that I've seen, Grandpa, or is that an anime trope?
No, I mean, you do see that. I'm writing down all the things you're bringing up here. Amazingly enough, if you watch anime, you're going to see more white characters than anything you watch here in America or probably in Europe as well. I mean, like virtually all the characters are white. It's just they are. I mean, they'll have purple hair and it's animation. But you know, one of the things that is nice is you see more white characters than anywhere else that you're going to see. In the West, you were talking about, one of the more popular genres in anime is what they call a seke, and it involves being sent to another world, whether by, you know, magic or you die and you get reincarnated in another world. And as you pointed out, Sven, it's usually like some medieval village somewhere. Always looks either European or British, you know, or old England or something like that. I mean, you just count on it. It's you got reincarnated in a world and that genre has been kind of done to death, but you get reincarnated or you get summoned to a world of swords and magic, you know where you're going to be. You're going to have, you know, thatched houses and new villages and stuff like that. So yeah, that part is kind of fun. We are painting with a broad brush here, and understand that, you know, if you listen to this and say, you know, I'm going to give this a chance, we'll get in here probably talking about a few specific ones, but understand that just like anything else, again, it's going to depend on what you like. If you don't like romance stories, then you're not going to like a romance anime just because that's a story. And make no mistake, there's a lot of crap tier anime. I mean, it's not like you can just pick one at random and it's going to be good. I mean, I've been complaining nonstop to Sven every chance I get about the current fall season. It is a barrage of mediocrity. I mean, there's a few that have been watchable and okay, but there's nothing in this current fall season that really is just super duper outstanding. I'm going to probably go back and rewatch it. Now, I was telling Sven just yesterday, I was looking forward and, you know, looking ahead to see what's coming out in the winter season, which will be after, you know, in January. And it's going to be a banger. We had a lot of good stuff coming out in the winter season, so I'm looking forward to that. But again, understand that, like, if you give this a try and you know, you just pick one at random and it's some boring mid-tier crap, there is a plenty of that we have. I start off every season, I give everything, more or less everything. I mean, they have labels you learn to look for, you know, anything, you know, if it's boys love, you know, that's gay. I'm not watching any of that. I don't do reverse harem, which is just some woman and all these ridiculously handsome guys are swooning around. I don't watch any of that. And so you can weed some of those out, but I'll start a season watching just about everything that comes out for at least an episode or two. And I start culling them out. I'm like, nope, not for me. Nope. Boring. Nope. Don't care for this. You know, and then I wind up with this smaller watch list, and then I go through the smaller watch list. And then even out of that, ultimately at the end of the season, I'm like, there's about three of those I should have dropped and I wasted my time. I wasted my time watching it. Yeah. You were talking earlier, Sven, about High School of the Elite. And yeah, when you think of it, it's funny because I really didn't think about it and you brought it up. But when you think of like the World Economic Forum's Young Leaders program or whatever, and you have all of these people that just magically go from that Young Leaders program to being presidents or prime ministers of countries. And it makes you think, you know, what's that like? What's that World Economic Forum Young Future Leaders program like? And it wouldn't be hard to picture it being something like High School of the Elite, which is one that is definitely worth watching. There's like, I think, three seasons of that. And yeah, so a lot of materials. Again, it's going to depend on what you like. My problem is, I like a lot of stuff. I watch romance anime. I'm a sucker for some anime that, you know, reincarnated as the villainous of a story. I mean, I like a lot of different stuff. So I watch a lot of different stuff that maybe, you know, other people would be like, why are you watching that? But I get something out of it, and I like the structure of the storytelling. But yeah, High School the Elite is definitely one with some twists and turns in it, and it does, it stops and makes you think a little bit.
Yeah, some of the favorites of mine, that Jujutsu Kaisen, I thought was particularly good. And one of the things that you mentioned before is how everything is so formulaic with the Western media. Whereas if you're looking at anime, you've got things that you wouldn't think of, probably because it's thought up by Japanese people. So it's going to have sort of crazy ideas. In Jujutsu Kaisen, curses actually have a life of their own, and they're anthropomorphized creatures. And there's a whole system that's based around using curses like science. In a lot of anime, they'll take it very, very seriously. If it's like a sword and sorcery anime, there'll be magic in there, and magic will be a codified system of technology in the same way that we have used technology today. And it will actually be magic, and everything is internally consistent. So Jujutsu Kaisen is a very good one. Attack on Titan is excellent. And in a way, that's almost not like traditional anime, because it doesn't have these bits in it that are called chibis, which are like humorous bits. Like if a character will get angry, it will be like an accentuated, exaggerated, angry depiction. Or if a person does something cute, they might be depicted as a cat or something like that. But that doesn't happen in Attack on Titan. There's one scene in there, I think, which gets close to it, where there's a girl that's grabbing all the food and eating all the food. That's another thing in anime as well. All the girls in anime just love food and chocolates, and they'll pretty much do anything for food and cake, which, you know, it's refreshing to actually see that, rather than the way that women are depicted in the West. So Attack on Titan is very, very good. And that has so many twists and turns in it. It's really dangerous if you actually look at the Wikipedia to keep up to date with what's happening with the episodes, because you'll get spoilers to it. And there's a lot of politics involved as well. How politics works, how Machiavellian it is, and the differences between like being a ruler and being a subject, and being responsible for sending armies into battle, and the number of human beings or number of your subjects that have actually been killed because you sent them into battle. Sort of ideas like that come in there. And very often the humans are portrayed as the bad guys, and the good guys are the beast men. And that makes me wonder if the Japanese don't actually see themselves as human, and perhaps they see the Europeans as human, and that's why the humans are the bad guys in their episodes, and the beast men, or I forget what the word is, they have another word for them, but you get lots of anthropomorphized animals. So you'll get human beings with cat ears and weird stuff like this that you would just never see in the West. So I would recommend Jujutsu Kaisen, Attack on Titan. And one of the best ones I saw was that time I got reincarnated as a slime. And I really enjoyed that one. That was one of the ones that Grandpa sent to me on the USB stick that I really enjoyed. Hopefully there's more of that coming up in the new year. One of the ways that I've benefited from this, though, is that I haven't had to sit there and watch one episode and then wait for the next episode. Because Grandpa has recommended these series to me, I'm able to sit there and watch four or five episodes at a time from the same series, which I've found to be much, much better and far, far preferable to sitting there trying to watch the new season's episodes, where you have to wait a week before watching the next episode. And when you're trying to watch all these different series at the same time, it just gets too confusing for me. So I think it would be helpful if we did put some links to some of the better anime episodes in the podcast notes for this podcast. And I've also set up a separate room for anime on the Radio Albion chat, so if people want to put in their favorite animes in there, that would be useful. Got any comments on that, Grandpa, or any other ones that you want to recommend?
Well, you brought up Attack on Titan and this just gives you an idea. I think that came out in around somewhere between 2012 and 2014. And the story just concluded a couple of years ago. And I mean, I watched it when it came out. That's a long time. I remember people were commenting on that anime when it finished. And, you know, there were like grown people, like I was 13 when this came out, you know, because for young people, you know, it, I can assure you, if you want, Attack on Titan is definitely a masterpiece. If you likened it to like a novel, it'd be something like, I don't know, Lord of the Rings or something. It's a very in-depth story. And I can assure you, if you watch the entirety of it, you will go back and watch it again, because without spoiling, obviously, but there are things that you see the first time through that you're going to miss. And I, when you were watching it, Sven, I kept saying, pay attention to the details, because there are things that when you get to the end of the series are going to go back to that. And what seemed like nothing, you know, you're, when it ends, your whole perspective gets turned on its head of what you've been watching this entire time. You're watching it and you think you have this cut and dried story. And when you get towards the end of the story, the way it's written is brilliant. But when you get to the end of the story, you realize that you haven't been watching what you think you've been watching all this time. And again, this played out over years. And you're like, okay, so I've spent years thinking the story was this, when all along, actually what was going on was this completely other thing. So, yeah, and a humorous thing, and I don't know if you know this, Sven, but when Attack on Titan was airing, there was a group or somebody that came out and was denouncing it as being anti-Semitic. And I, honest to goodness, I tried to figure out where that angle came from, and I never could figure it out. I couldn't figure out what that ain't, but there was a group that came out and was criticizing the show, claiming that it was anti-Semitic. So it just, anything can be anti-Semitic. Yeah, that time I got reincarnated as a slime, I recommended that one to you, Sven, because it really gets into nation building and the idea of just what goes on behind the idea of governance, you know. And of course there's action and there's fun story plot lines and interesting characters. It's really well done, but you wouldn't think something about, oh, you got reincarnated once again in kind of a medieval world as a slime, that would get into. But it really, as the story goes on, you really get into political machinations and the things that go on, like if you're building a country and political pressures, and, you know, this country feels threatened by your presence just because, you know, you're in the middle of one of their trade routes or something like that. And it really gets into that. And a lot of thought goes into it. That's why I said at the very beginning, it's really about the storytelling. The animation part of it is just the medium. It's when you find a good one, and again, make no mistake, you're not gonna pick one at random. The odds are you're going to wind up with some mid-tier garbage. But when you do get a good one, it is amazing the amount of effort that goes into the script writing, which we just don't see today in the West. I'm sorry, we don't. It's the same recycled slop. You look at what's at the movies, you know, the latest Marvel Comics crap that comes out, and people have really lost interest. When the another one, of course, is Demon Slayer. And I think when the Demon Slayer movie debate, this is an anime movie, when it debuted here in the U.S., it was like the number one movie that weekend at the box office, you know, because all of the garbage that's being put out is just the same recycle. There's no originality coming out of the West. Oh, you brought up Jujutsu Kaisen. That's another good one. If you get started on anime, you've got several seasons to look through and you can binge watch it. Like Sven was talking about, you don't have to wait week by week. I torture myself when the new season comes out. I got to watch it as it comes out. And it's hard. Another one I don't want to leave out is that's a more recent one that's definitely up there in my favorites list is Solo Leveling. And there's two seasons of that. I'm hoping we get another season of Solo Leveling at some point. I really enjoyed it. Ironically enough, the story there is a Korean story. You'll notice watching it that nobody has Japanese names. They all have Korean names, Jinwoo. You know, so the original source material that is a manhwa, which is like an internet comic out of Korea. That's why all the characters have Korean names, but they're speaking Japanese. And that leads to a real funny, it's not a spoiler, it's because it's just a minor detail. It leads to a really funny scene where these major guilds are meeting and the Japanese guild flies in and they're meeting with the Korean guilds. And of course, everybody throughout the entire show is speaking Japanese because it's a Japanese anime. And so they have a translator to translate for the Koreans, only everybody's speaking Japanese. I found that to be really humorous. And just to add to that point before I hand it back to you, you have got to watch. Listen to me now. This is me saving you some heartache. you have got to watch Japanese anime in Japanese and read subtitles. You know, you do. Do not try to watch the English dub. You can't, because they're bad. And I mean bad, I mean they should hire me. They could just hire me to sit here and read the script, because that's what it sounds like. Oh my gosh, where are you going now? Why are you doing that? Once in a while, just for laughs, I will take one anime that I've enjoyed, and I'll flip up an episode dubbed and watch like 5 minutes of it just to laugh at how poorly it's done. And I'm not putting those people down. I realize they're putting some sort of effort in, but it's crap. I mean, it is really bad. So if you do decide to watch anime, watch it in Japanese with subtitles. You might think, well, it takes a lot of effort to read, but that engages you more with the story. It's kind of like you're more engaged if you read a book versus if you just watch a show. It's kind of a combination. It merges that. You're reading along. Now, I've been watching anime for probably 20 some odd years. So, I mean, the subtitles are just there to keep me up. You know, a lot of it, I can turn around and do something else, and I hear it and I get what they're saying without even reading the subtitles. So after a while, it does you're less dependent upon the subtitles. You can kind of, the subtitles are just there as a crutch to keep you up, make sure you don't miss any details. So yeah, Solo Leveling. There's another one I do. I highly recommend. It's a fun story.
Yeah, I was going to say, you have to watch it with the subtitles. And I do wonder if that's why it sort of reminds me of comics, is because I'm reading it rather than listening to it. And obviously it's pictures as well. But that is one of the drawbacks to it, is you can't watch anime and do anything else. And you can eat while you watch it, which is what I do. I watch it when I'm eating now, because you can't go off and do anything else, because you've got to have your eyes on the screen all the time. Another aspect to it that we should mention is that World War II is treated in a completely different way than it is to the West, because Japan was on the side of the Axis powers, and they obviously look upon that period in history in a different way to the West. And you quite often get German characters, German sounding names. I mean, there was one that I watched recently and it had a Führer in it, and you just wouldn't get somebody referred to as the Führer in the West, but you do in Japan. And I think you can see that Japan was actually quite close to National Socialist Germany for a period of time, and that seems to have had a lasting effect on their culture. One particular one to do with World War II is Tanya the Evil, which is absolutely hilarious, which is about battle mages, and I think they're fighting for the National Socialists, and they're also hurling prayers, and they have prayer weapons. It's very, very bizarre. But the World War II bits that you see in there, it's a very, very different way than it is referred to in the West. Tanya the Evil was one of the best ones that I've seen, and I think that really sort of highlights the difference between Japanese media and Western media. But there are others that deal with the Second World War. Perhaps you want to bring up or mention some of those, Grandpa?
No, you stole my thunder. Saga of Tanya the Evil. There's two, I believe there's two seasons in a movie or one season in a movie. I don't remember off the top of my head. It's definitely worth a watch. And like you say, it's kind of set in a World War II, except you add this kind of magic thing. But as you brought up before, the magic aspect is actually brought up more in the form of, like, it's a form of technology, you know, and it's kind of handled like a form of technology. And yeah, the perspective of it, there's not this caricature bad guy thing, you know, and they show people fighting, you know, the people they're fighting, which would be basically the Allied forces. They're not just portrayed as, you know, just evil people. And a lot of the context given is that the actual people doing the fighting are just regular people. And, you know, there's scenes where the American side, you know, when they show the guy talking with his family and saying goodbye to his kids as he's being shipped off to the front to go fight the main character's group, and it ultimately gets killed by the main character. And, you know, it does, even though they add the fantasy and elements to it, it's real interesting. Now, the main character here, I'm not spoiling because this is like happens in the first 5 minutes of the show, but the main character, Tanya the Evil, is actually a Japanese salaryman that gets killed and winds up in this world. And he winds up there because he's in a conflict with this supreme being, this god type being, and they're at odds. So he gets put in this world. And so, you know, this is like an alternate reality type of world. It's not literally World War II, obviously, because they didn't have battle ages. But anyway. But because the main character is somebody from our world, this person will let things slip. There's a scene where they're having a conflict with the Russians, you know, and they're going to try to fly. The main character proposes flying in and launching an assault on Moscow, and they're all aghast that they're going to do that. And the main character says, well, everyone knows their air defenses are crap. You can land a Cessna in Red Square. And they're all looking and going, a Cessna? What are you talking about? They're all commies anyway. And they're like, commies? What are you, commies? So there are some humorous aspects to it. And there's some somber things in some of the other stories that you were talking about, World War II depiction. In some stories, you know, they will depict the firebombings that took place towards the end of the war. And because all of their housing, their civilian housing, were wood and the windows are paper. So these firebombings that took place that were unimaginably devastating. Their housing is old and is all made of wood, the civilian housing. So when they were dropping napalm on these things, it just wiped. It was just beyond devastating because they didn't have concrete structures. The majority of the civilian housing was just old wooden housing, and that will be depicted, and you realize, you know, how traumatic that was. And like you say, that's really implanted in the psyche, I think, of the people. And it's interesting because you do get these different perspectives, and they seem to, for the most part, they steer away from just making their opponents in the story just, you know, a caricature evil person just for the sake of you got to have an evil person. A lot of times they will make the effort to show you that person's, that person's motivations and why they're doing what they're doing. And like I said, with Tanya the Evil, it's interesting because you get the perspective that the regular people going out, the regular soldiers going out and fighting each other, you know, they're just regular people, regardless of which side they're on. You know, they get ordered to go to the front, and they're all just fighting for their lives. They don't have a say in the politics of the matter or what the motivations are. You're aware of it because you're the viewer, and you see the scenes where, well, we have to secure this because this is a part of our supply line and so on and so forth. But the people that just get sent out there, I mean, they just follow orders, and they're just all, regardless of what side they're on, they're all just trying to stay alive.
It can also take a while to get going with some of these series. You can watch like 4 or 5 episodes before it really picks up pace and gets going. So you have to sort of bear with it sometimes. And also they'll introduce things and you'll think, well, I don't understand that. What's the backstory to that? And it will gradually get explained over the next few episodes. Everything will be explained. So sort of unlike a Western movie where everything is signposted, you really do have to think when you're watching these animes. And it can get difficult telling the characters apart because they're all just sort of hand-drawn characters. So sometimes I have difficulty with that, and sometimes with the names. But they are all European-looking characters, even though they're speaking Japanese and have Japanese names. To me, it's like reading an English comic, a comic that's written in English but with moving pictures. It's very enjoyable, and yeah, I have continued to watch anime now that I'm back on Radio Albion. I'm still making time to watch 2 episodes a day while I'm eating. So I've got Grandpa here to recommend the best animes to me still so that I can watch them. And as I say, we've got an anime room in the chat room if you want to add any animes in there that you think are worth watching. Oh, I expect we'll leave a couple in there, and I'll get Grandpa to put some on these podcast notes for this page. Grandpa, have you got any final thoughts on anime before we finish today?
Well, it's, you've referenced it here. It really is, the animation aspect is really secondary to it. It really is about the quality of storytelling. And as I said before, it's a broad brush. I don't pick a random anime. It's liable to turn out to be garbage, you know, because there's plenty of garbage anime out there, you know. But the good ones, what makes it stand out is really, really the storytelling. I'm glad that you're still watching it, Sven, as I was saying before you officially were able to return to Radio Albion. You know, it is important, you know, regardless of what you're doing, it's important to have a various things. You got to have things to unwind to. You have to have other interests. If you just focus on one thing all the time, it'll burn you out and you won't be as good at the one thing. You need to have things. I really believe, and this applies to anybody, you have to have other things that you can be interested in, other things that you can go over here and do this for a while. And I think that's important for anybody. Anime is one aspect of it. I really do think it's important to always have a varied set of things to be interested in and to enjoy out of life. Because after all, at the end of the day, we all get one go at this time on Earth, and we should find some things to enjoy while we're here. And for me, and I'm glad for you too, Sven, anime is a part of it. I do recommend. And again, look into, you know, figure out what you're interested in. There's some basics a person can start with. We've named several of them here. Good starting point. I'm assuming the majority of our audience is male, so a lot of what we've recommended is going to appeal to male audiences. But there's plenty of others that if you're married or you got a girlfriend, there's other genres you can sit down. Like if it's a romance type of anime, you can actually enjoy it. It's not just, you know, Hallmark Channel BS. You can actually sit with your girlfriend or wife and watch a romance tier, you know, style anime and still enjoy it, because there, again, there's some actual good effort that goes into the story making. So if there's some kind of, like I say, genre that you like, that you prefer, more than likely you can find it. And I think you can enjoy it in the context of anime.
Yeah. It's not so much about the particular genres, is it? It's the storytelling that's so good. And if it's a good storytelling, then it really doesn't matter what sort of genre it is. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I'll be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.